Hello and welcome to Loika Mania episode 11. My name is Pat Loika and today I'm just going to talk about random stuff. We're going to be talking with a good friend of mine who is actually already here, believe it or not. He is a friend of mine and one of my favorite collaborators. His name is Adam Witt. Hey Adam, how's it going?
My name is Adam Witt and I am already here.
Yes, we've already established that.
So damn it, I'm repeating myself again. No.
So how's it going?
I guess I'm not repeating myself so much as I'm echoing you, it's a bad way to start the whole thing.
Yeah, you are doing very poorly as being my guest this week.
Presumably 11 guests you've had on. I am easily.
No, I haven't had a guest for every episode I've done, which clearly shows how much you're paying attention to the show. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate that.
I don't listen to podcasts, except for the Sarcastic Voyage.
I thought you were supposed to say, except for you. except for you, Pat.
Yeah, except for you, too.
We've already established that this is all bullshit. All of it.
All bullshit and lies.
But seriously, Adam is someone I've worked with a couple times. We collaborated on a somewhat big graphic novel called Blacklisted. I mean, it's over 100 pages. I would say that's a big graphic novel, right? I mean, that qualifies as a sizable chunk of work.
It's at least 104 pages big, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, okay. And, of course, we've done various short stories together, and we have other stuff that's coming that hasn't been, you know, that are in various stages of completion. But, you know, I brought Adam here not because we want to plug anything. No, that's not what we're all about right now. We want to talk about what we're digging. You know, there's been a lot of things that have been coming out. Some stuff that we're rediscovering also over the last few months. And that'd probably be fun to kind of talk about what we've been checking out lately. Before we get into that stuff, though, did you get anything at all from this week?
I got a handful of books. My comic shop kind of dropped the ball, and I didn't get a couple of things I wanted. Mm-hmm. But I got Scarlet, which was really, really good. We don't want to get into spoilers on it, but Scarlet was fantastic. Yeah. And if anybody's on the fence about picking it up, like, buy it. It's really, really good. I'm not trying to hard sell or anything. It's a fantastic book.
I have to agree. We'll get into it a little bit here without going into plot details. We'll just go into the technique that's being used here. I like how Brian Bendis, who wrote the book, and Alex Maleev, who is the artist, have introduced this character to pretty much everyone who's picking up the book. It's Bendis does something very different in this book, and he basically puts you. He puts the reader into the book by having the main character basically talk to the reader for the entire thing, and it's very in the hands of the wrong writer, it could be a big mistake, and somehow Bendis.
I think it comes off a lot more intimate than anything. Like that's the word I'd use to describe it. Like even though things are happening on kind of a big scale, mm-hmm. it really does feel like. It's an experience.
Yeah, it feels that way. Even the way the arts, I mean, I like the fact that Alex pays enough attention to, you know, like with the way he draws the facial expressions, the way it looks like you're looking, it feels like you're with her and you're looking at her and the camera angles and the points of view he chooses throughout the book, you know. It feels like, you know, it puts you right in the middle of everything.
Yeah, it's very film-like.
It's very clever. It's a gorgeous book. I hope people check out this book. I mean, there are no superpowers in this book, at least not as of yet anyway. No one with superpowers. It doesn't look like a crime noir thing. You know, it doesn't look like a hard-boiled detective type of thing. It's just a girl, you know, and all kinds of stuff happens. So check out Scarlet. It's good. And Adam is for anyone listening, Adam is a hard sell on some of Bendis' more current stuff, aside from powers, aside from the older power stuff. And the fact that he digs it kind of says volumes. And check it out. what else have you picked up this week?
I only got the chance to flip through it at my shop because they just had one copy on the shelf. My shop guy asked me to put it back, but the Casanova relaunch came out this week. and it's gorgeous. It's a great book as it is, but the coloring really adds a new dimension to it. You wouldn't expect it, but it's really, really cool.
Yeah, and Casanova, I mean, this isn't, you know, the first time this particular first issue came out. Actually, this is the third time this issue has been released in some form. Now it's in color, and it's kind of gotten me... Now, it puts me in the mood to reread the entire original run, now that it's started to come back out, you know? We had kind of briefly touched upon it earlier before we started recording, that you were rereading the book. I mean, how does it feel like actually, it's your first time reading it, isn't it?
I had read the first arc, mm-hmm. but I hadn't had a chance to pick up the single issues because the second arc was never collected. But I read the first arc, read that in trade, and enjoyed it. And the second arc, I think, is a lot better. The first arc smacks of a book that's like this dude trying to put together all these ideas, and he's sort of getting his water wings going. It's really confusing to start, another reason I think the going to Marvel and releasing two issues at a time thing is going to be really convenient mm-hmm. for them, for anybody who's listening. What they're doing is they're the original Image format was, it was 12 pages or 16 pages per issue. Now they're collecting it and putting two issues together and releasing it as one. And I think having each issue in that bigger chunk makes it a lot easier to digest. You're getting a lot more of the ideas in one shot because it's a dense book. I mean, you've read it.
Yeah, I mean, it's packed with information. It word balloons are just full of information all and full of text. You were really getting your money's worth even back then, but now that you're getting like twice the content, and you even have the re-release actually has like a backup story also in it that's completely new.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting like all this content recolored, and you got this completely new stuff in it for for basically the price of two issues, really, you know. The price of two issues back then, it was $1.99 back then, wasn't it?
Yep.
And for $4, you're getting that, plus it's in color, plus you get bonus material. They did a good job re-releasing it. As far as reading the old stuff, I mean, I kind of remember the first arc really a bit. And like you mentioned...
Yeah, it's not bad. I was kind of harsh on it the way I was talking about it before. It's not bad. It's just, it's really, it's a first arc. It's a first mainstream book for the guy. So there was, you can tell it's a nervy book. Like it's the sort of thing where, you know, not to read his mind or anything, but you know,
I mean, it's kind of a personal book for him. At the same time, it feels like he's like, you know, he's trying to learn as he goes along, you know, because he's never, he's put up like,
this was the book that he says in the back matter. This is the book he's always wanted to do.
Yeah. So. And he's kind of trying to, you know, he's basically learning to walk as the book goes along, and he throws out a lot of big concepts, a lot of big ideas throughout the book, and a lot of them, some of them stick, some of them kind of...
A lot of them just in the first issue,
thing. There's so much stuff going on in the book, and if you're not... I mean, for some people, it can turn people off, because some people just don't have the patience for something, for some of the bigger ideas, you know? I mean, and... If you're really into the sci-fi stuff, you're really into it. You get into it instantly because it's got something for everyone. It's a spy story. It's a sci-fi story. It's got parallel dimensions and all that stuff. So it's and pretty much all the anything you could ever want. But the thing is, he mixes all this other super science stuff in there, and it kind of overwhelms you at first. But when you got to the second arc, though, he kind of tones it down a bit.
The second arc is a lot more sparse than the first. I think there's dialogue altogether. There's less. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say there's less going on. Mm-hmm. There's absolutely not less going on, but it's a lot more digestible for some reason.
I think it's because he already dumped all the concepts on you in the first arc. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, if he didn't, you know, give you all this information in that first arc, you probably would be lost. You know, you might have a lot to deal with when the second arc came in anyway.
Yeah, I think the fact that in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the fact that he's introduced everything in that first arc kind of makes it easier for you to get into that new arc, that second set of issues. I'm kind of hoping that if they would eventually re-release or do like a collected edition of like the original series in its original color format, because I thought the the duo,
the single tone stuff, yeah, really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, I kind of like that. It's a very, it's a unique looking book, and I was very sad that retailers wouldn't follow through on that book because it only had one color. It's such a dumb thing to complain about.
Well, that's one dimension of it. It was also like, it's not the same thing as if you're a retailer and you're talking stocking, say Fell, which was the same format versus Casanova. You've got, okay, just to break it down to creative team, you've got Warren Ellis as the writer on Fell, who is a tested talent. You know, you've got Transmet, you've got all his Marvel shit, you've got this, you've got that. And then you've got Fraction, who a lot of people hadn't heard of at the time. I think that worked against the book too, but, you know, retailers aren't a take-chancy sort of people either.
Oh, well. It's a damn shame, and that book should have continued on, really, because I was digging that book. I thought it was really finding its rhythm as far as the storytelling was concerned.
I guess they got huge orders on the Marvel relaunch of it, so that's good. I mean, it's really good that the book's going to be getting into people's hands.
Yeah, and I think the reason why the Marvel relaunch is doing so well is because everyone knows who the, you know, Ba and Moon are, and everyone knows who Fraction is now, obviously. Considering, you know,
especially Marvel readers.
He has really raised his profile since he started on, you know, since Casanova number one came out.
Yeah, when it came out originally, he just kind of had his, the 30 Days a Night, Last of the Independents, and Five Fists out at that point, right?
Yeah, that was it. And, you know, he's done various working anthologies. And then he got into the Marvel stuff, like, soon after. And I think, you know, this is one of those cases where, you know, like, doing all that mainstream Marvel stuff will actually end up helping his creator-owned stuff.
And maybe all of his mainstream stuff's really good. Like, yeah. Speaking of things we're digging, I've got it on the way, but the third trade of Invincible Iron Man, I hate Iron Man as a character. Like, I've never had any interest in the character. And I picked up Fraction's book just because I like Fraction and I like Salvador LaRocca. Uh-huh. And the book blew my mind. I mean, I really like it. It was the sort of thing where it was like, okay, I've got the first trade. I have to get the second trade. And once I got done with the second, I have to get the third. It's a really good book.
Yeah, I adore that book, and for many reasons, and I love the. I think what really makes that book stand out for me is the fact that the way he portrays Tony Stark, he knows how to write that character. The character's a genius. The character's kind of misunderstood, and the character's not. I mean, despite, you know, his playboy leanings, he's really not that great dealing with people, you know. And that first arc, you know, especially the Spider-Man issue, kind of gives you a good grasp of why he's been acting the way he's been acting, like, in that period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the post-Civil War, pre-Secret Invasion period, where he's basically running everything. And it kind of gives you a glimpse of what it's like to be in that guy's head. And it makes him much more sympathetic as a character. And of course, you know, he just turns out to be very, very likable. You know, he's funny, he's witty, he's, you know, there's a lot of character going on there. I mean, he's been portrayed so poorly prior to that, you know, in many other books.
He's been portrayed pretty inconsistently, too, I think.
Well, like, I think he was, I mean, outside of his own book, I don't think he was treated properly, except maybe in Bendis' Avengers books, because Bendis knows how to write the guy pretty well, too. But, you know, whenever he guested in a book like Thor, that was terrible. When he guested pretty much anything JMS wrote, he was written like he was some kind of mustache twirling villain, really, because of that whole registration bit. But, you know, if they're past that, you said you're waiting for the third trade, so you've read the first half of World's Most Wanted, then, right?
Yep.
Man, I love that. I love that storyline, and it was a year that I was very excited to read Iron Man because I could not wait for the next issue to come out.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing just conceptually, because it's that sort of turnaround thing. It's basically putting Iron Man in, like, the shoes of Spider-Man, which is a total out of the element thing for the character.
Yeah, and of course, and you also got the flowers for Algernon angle, you know. Where his memory is kind of his mind's deteriorating as he goes along. So
yeah.
it's I'm not gonna spoil anything for you because there's stuff that, you know, there's more stuff in that second book. That second book is where things really pick up. But there's a lot of great, again, more character moments here. Like, even with the supporting cast, like Pepper Potts and Maria Hill, they all got their great little moments throughout the storyline, and I thought it was very cool. You know, I love that, and I'm glad to see that they're letting Fraction do crazy long stories like that. Considering
that's what he's best with.
Yeah, and if you consider also, he's, you know, out of all the Marvel writers, he's probably the newest guy who's kind of gotten, you know, access to these characters.
Yeah, him and Hickman, really.
Yeah, him and Hickman, and I'm just surprised that they let him know this is a risky story, because it's 1 year where you have Iron Man basically out of the other books. You know,
yeah, he went from writing Punisher War Journal, was it?
Yeah.
To, you know, controlling some of the bigger characters in the Marvel universe. So he did not drop the ball in the least.
Oh yeah. I'm not surprised at all. As someone that read Casanova, I knew he could do something like that. I was just excited for the guy, and he's a very, very great guy, too, a good person. You know, it's I'm very pleased by the success that he's accomplished.
He's a really nice cat. That was when I met him in Emerald City. Mm-hmm. That was one of the better moments for the entire show. So,
oh yeah, it's fun to talk to the guy about anything too. He is funny as hell.
He's smart as fuck too.
Yeah.
He knows what he's talking about pretty much everything. He can talk sports, he can talk movies, he can talk TV, he can talk everything. Well-rounded nerd.
Yes, that is always good. Speaking of, let me see. We kind of touched upon Casanova and Iron Man. Have you tried out his? Oh man, I'm blanking here on this other book that he's been doing. Did you ever try out The Order? By him.
I tried out The Order, didn't really care for it. I thought it was boring. It's the weirdest thing to say about a Fraction book, but the first issue was really, really boring, and I didn't try it beyond that.
I can understand that. I thought it kind of the new characters kind of took a while to. It took a while for me to warm up to any of the characters. And, I mean, since you read the Iron Man, one of the characters from Bear actually shows up in Iron Man later on.
Okay.
Well, I think, he already showed up in that first half. The guy who, you know, the actor, I forgot his name, Henry Hellrung or something?
Henry Hellrung, yeah.
Yeah, he already shows up in the first volume. So it was kind of cool to pick up on that. I thought that book could have lasted a little longer, though. He had some, again, some good ideas there, but I thought he didn't really get the enough time to flesh them out and really get into the characters, because she spent.
Thanks, retailers.
Oh yeah, let's not get into that business.
if there are any retailers listening to the show, I'm sorry.
No, I don't care. Did you pick up the speaking of retailers and Fraction? Did you pick up the Iron Man annual that came out a couple
years
back?
Yeah, I was actually just about to ask you about that. What'd you think of it?
I thought it was a very interesting story. I thought it was very strong. I thought it was very good. I think the art really helped it quite a bit, because I think my only concern with it is because it's like continuity geek in me. I'm just trying to figure out where this fits in.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not caught up with, I don't mean caught up. I mean, I just don't know much about the Mandarin because he hasn't shown up in the Fraction run proper.
He hasn't shown up yet. I guess this is like an introduction to him. They're kind of reintroducing the character to everyone. But the last time we saw him was in, in Iron Man Director of S.H.I.E.L.D. during the Knopf's run.
Right.
And I thought he showed up in a very, very. I thought it was a cool story. I don't know how many people got into that story. I know I loved it because I think the way they portrayed the Mandarin was different from the other times he's been portrayed. You know, he's not twirling his mustache, showing off his rings. There's even a couple moments where, you know, like Iron Man's using.
You know, Pat, if anybody ever catches you twirling your mustache, you're getting all kinds of hell for it now.
No, I do not twirl my mustache. I just.
I think I've seen you twirl your mustache.
No, not in public. I only do that when I'm scheming and planning on taking over the world. No, did I say that out loud? Shit.
we knew it anyway. You're not really surprising anybody.
Well, yeah.
It's your world. We just, you know, inhabit it and genuflect upon your greatness.
If it was my world, man, the certain panels during Comic-Con this year would be taking place at different times and not during my panel.
But I talk about your panel a little bit, Pat.
What's that?
But I talk about your panel a little bit, Pat.
Oh, we'll get into that in a little bit later. I mean, I don't feel like plugging just yet. So, aside from faction stuff, what else have you been digging lately? What have you been reading?
I just started Exit Wounds. It came out in paperback finally. So,
By Ruchi Wadan, right? Yes.
That's a really
good. I enjoyed that book quite a bit. I think it's something you'll get into as well. I mean, I don't remember the year it came out, but that and Fun Home were my favorite graphic novels that came out around that period. Like, then they got blown away by stuff like Asterios Polyp.
It's hard not to get blown away by Asterios Polyp. Did you ever read Three Story that came out last year?
I have it in my pile. Actually, I have it. It's in one of the boxes that I need to empty out because I've been kind of restructuring my studio / library, and I'm in need of a couple more bookcases, and that's still in one of the boxes that need to be emptied out. But
I would Asterios was really good. Like, to say really good is kind of giving it an understatement. Mm-hmm. But I think Three Story was probably the better altogether book
by
to come
Matt
out.
Kent, right? Matt Kent.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is phenomenal. I mean, Super Spy is fantastic, and I love the stuff he did for Strange Tales.
Oh yeah, the Black Widow story.
I have yet to see anything by him that is not of high quality, you know.
And I was gonna get the next week. His book Revolver is coming out through Vertigo, and that looks fantastic.
I was very pleased to see, you know, that the bigger publishers are taking notice of him. And of course, I love everything he's done with Top Shelf, and Top Shelf is good. But I think
he's got like three or four things coming out over the next like year and a half. He's got a book coming out through First Second. Mm-hmm. He's got a book coming out. He's actually the sequel, the proper sequel to Super Spy, is going to be coming out Top Shelf in June. It's called Supernatural.
Oh, that's fantastic. I can't wait. I've met Matt Kent in person in San Diego last year, and the guy is just, he has his pages out there. He was displaying his Black Widow pages there, and like, he clearly does not want to sell. He just wanted to show it up because he was really happy with those pages.
I actually, I bought, he did Super Spy, or excuse me, not Super Spy, Three Story in panels. I actually own a panel from Super Spy.
That's awesome.
Not like, Super Spy, Three Story. Man, Three Story. I sucked at it.
Hey, man, they all start to look alike. They're so good. How much did it cost you?
$40.
That is fantastic. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a full watercolor. It's signed. It's really nice.
Yeah, man, I need to get something from that guy.
Yeah, I've got a MODOK sketch from him. He's done a sketch in each of the books that I own of his. Mm-hmm. I've got a bunch of original art from him, now that I think about it.
I don't have anything from him yet, and he's someone I need to hit up.
He's going to be at San Diego.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to be there. Speaking of Top Shelf, though, we mentioned it. Book that I checked out recently that I absolutely loved, I think you should check out too, is called Moving Pictures. It's by Catherine and Stuart Immonen.
Oh, you know what? I have it. I looked at the start of it. It looks really cool. It's totally, his art is, it's super simple. Like, it reminded me, have you ever looked at anything by the cartoonist Jules Pfeiffer?
Yes.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of Pfeiffer's art. Like, it's really good. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's what I love about Stuart, though. You know, he's very versatile. He could pretty much ape any style. He could do he could do like a super detailed, like, you know,
like he did Superman Secret Identity. You would never guess that the same guy that drew Superman Secret Identity drew New Avengers, drew Next Wave, drew Moving Pictures.
I mean, he did a fill-in for Fantastic Four during Hitch's run, and he did his best to mimic Hitch's style, and I remember
seeing that and being shot. Yeah, absolutely.
I almost didn't notice it was him. You know, it's that guy's phenomenal, man. I mean, I think pound for pound, he is probably the best storyteller in comics right now. If we go mainstream, at least, you know.
Yeah, he's a definite contender, I'd say. What do you think of Steve Epting being on Fantastic Four?
I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's going to kind of revitalize that book for me because, I don't know, I haven't been feeling Eaglesham that much. I kind of...
Oh, that breaks my heart.
Well, I like Eaglesham, don't get me wrong, but for some reason it's... I don't know, for some reason it just doesn't feel... I don't know, there's something missing for me. And I like it.
I think the Neil Edwards villains are not very good at all either.
Neil Edwards, I think if he was working with a different inker, could probably be okay, because the thing is he's been working with Andrew Curry, and Curry inked Brian Hitch for a while. And
right.
You can kind of tell it's looking like a Brian Hitch clone almost, you know, and like that doesn't do him any favors.
Yeah, it's a shame. This thing, that just happens, though.
Yeah, I did check out Super Soldier number 1 with Dale Eaglesham and Ed Brubaker, and I thought that was fun.
Oh, cool.
I think, actually, you might get into that, too. You know, when the trade comes out, I recommend you pick it up. It's worth checking out, and it's a story that's pretty self-contained. It's only something that Steve Rogers deals with. It doesn't concern any of the Avengers teams or anything, at least not in the end of the first issue. And there's a cameo appearance by a character that I did not expect to see in a book that stars Steve Rogers, so that's pretty cool too. What else have I been reading? Have you been reading Batman Robin, or are you trade waiting on that?
I'm behind on Batman and Robin, but I read this week's issue.
Oh man, that was good.
Yeah, I have no context for it, so it was just kind of like an episode of the Twilight Zone for me, but it was really fun.
Yeah, my favorite scene involves Damien in the crowbar.
That
was kind of surreal because of the costume and what he's wielding, but I'm like, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, the entire opening scene, too, is really cool. It's very Hitchcocky.
Yeah. And Fraser Irving, man, that guy...
He stepped up his game so much.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when he did Clarion the Witch Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when he did... When he did... Crap, I'm trying to remember that book he did. He did this book with Image, whose title I completely forgot. It's basically about the civilization that lives inside this whale. Do you remember that?
I do not. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. But it's a fantastic book. And
he did Iron Man The Inevitable.
Yeah, he did that with Joe Casey, which I absolutely enjoyed also.
Are you reading Avengers The Origin with Casey?
I'm waiting for the hardcover.
The art's really, really nice.
Oh, I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah.
Phil
Noto always draws those noses that are, like, I don't know if it's his colorist choice or what, but they're always really red, and all the characters look like they have a cold, so that kind of turns me off a little bit, but beyond that, like, the guy's a great draftsman.
Oh, yeah, he really is. There you go. The title of that book I just told you is called It's Guttsville.
Oh, Guttsville. Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
Did that ever finish?
No. I'm not even going to get into that.
Let's make them think of the name. Happened in the last 2 years to cross-reference it.
I'm not even gonna get into that. That's one of those books that I missed. Image had put out some first issues in the last few years where they never followed up on it like that. Then there's another Image book came out called Pretty Baby Machine. It's like a gangster comic by Cody Chamberlain, and I forgot who else was with him in that book. But they never released a second issue either. It's a damn shame, really.
Yeah.
Shit,
I'm still waiting for a proper return of Grant Morrison's authority.
Well,
it came back, but it was half-assed.
Yeah, we're getting the Lost Year, which is I don't know. I've been disappointed with some of the stuff they've been, you know, some of the ways they've been handling books that don't come out. I mean, at least we know, as much as I hated the Kevin Smith Daredevil Target thing, at least they had the decency to say, you know what, fuck it, we're not going to finish this. There's no point, you know.
It's better than the book coming back and it being like, this issue, Daredevil gets raped, which, you know, happened in Spider-Man Black Cat.
Oh, God, that book. The only reason I still have that book is because I love Terry Dodson.
The art in the first two issues too. I don't think he was inked by Rachel Dodson. It looks really nice.
I don't remember. I'll have to take a look at that. But
I'm reasonably sure, but I'm probably wrong. I don't know. But yeah, I just remember his art being really a lot, because I was reading. I remember they released a 2-issue thing of the original run of that, and I was reading Marvel Knights Spider-Man by Millar and Terry Dodson at the same time. Which is actually, in my opinion, I'm like in the way minority here. I really liked Millar's Spider-Man.
I enjoyed that as well, actually. I think that was a fun story.
That brought me back to comics after about 5 years of not reading them.
Really? That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I read the...
That book did good.
Yeah, I read the preview in Wizard, and I was like, man, Spider-Man just hit the Green Goblin with a mailbox.
And then you have to also put into account their idea of a fill-in issue is getting Frank Cho to draw issues. Like, come on, dude. Frank Cho.
Frank Cho was a titty artist before that, and I thought it was the most. I still think the 2 issues of that he drew were some of the most beautiful superhero art I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. And other superhero stuff that he's done since that has been fantastic too. I mean, say what you will about I know you're not a big fan of Bendis' Avengers, it's not your thing. But the story art, every time he was drawing that book, man, I was just frothing at the mouth. It's just gorgeous. God, that sounds so gross, frothing.
Yeah. Dude, Big Joe's art makes a lot of people froth. So it's okay.
Yeah, I would love to see that guy do more stuff. I mean, I'd like to see more new storytelling from him. I mean, he's got the new Ultimates coming out, which is with Jeff Loeb, and that's cool. But I don't know if I could sit through waiting for that coming out. I just want to get, I want to do something.
Are you saying
more.
It's going
to
be late, Pat? Are you accusing Jeff Loeb and Frank Cho of putting out late books?
I did. I'm just frustrated because I'm a fan. I love reading stuff, and a lot of people are very critical of Jeff Loeb's stuff, but I think he does fun comics. They're entertaining, to say the least. And
Absolute Power.
Yes, Absolute Power is a very strong book. I thought
3 or 4 fucking months it took that last issue to come out.
Yeah.
The scheduling was terrible. Carlos Pacheco's art, gorgeous. Jeff Loeb's writing, really, really smart, genius. Man, was that book late, but it was worth waiting for.
Yeah, that book, man, very underrated. I think it's Superman Batman just fell apart when he left that book.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, say what you will about him. I mean, the thing is, it's just him going balls out with his art, with his whoever artist he wants to work with. And he's just letting them go wild, It's insane. I mean, I wasn't a bit.
Just crazy off the wall shit.
Yeah.
That's the arc after that was huge fun too. Mm-hmm. With all the with basically him lampooning Ultimates with Ed McGuinness drawing it.
Yeah. And now
anybody who likes crazy alternate universe team shit, like, read Superman Batman Absolute Power and Superman Batman Vengeance.
Yes.
Those are two fantastic little stories, and the trades are, like, I think $13 a piece.
Yeah, and if you go to a con or something, you'll probably get them for cheaper than that, or even get them used at Amazon, and you'll get a pretty good, good price for them. They're really entertaining, they're so much fun, and it's got some, and as much as people like to whine about Jeff Loeb, he regardless of which artist he works with, he brings out the best in all of his artists.
He's up and down. Like, I think he has it, and then he loses it, and he has it, and then he loses it. But he's done some of my favorite things, like Challenges of the Unknown Must Die.
Oh, yeah.
That's a book that so many people missed, but it's him and Tim Sale doing probably the craziest mainstream comic story.
For that era, yeah, definitely. And then there's I'm trying to remember. I mean, for all the crap Hush gets, I mean, it's a great introduction to Batman.
Yeah.
It's again, it's got probably some of Jim Lee's best art in years. And then you have
I didn't like Jim Lee's art at all before I read that, and that made me a fan of Jim Lee.
Yeah, I like the fact that I like the story behind how that story came together to begin with too, which is great. He started off a bet that he can't do a monthly comic, and boom, there they are, they pulled it off. It's too bad Jim Lee couldn't do that again, but it was nice that he tried.
He's got MMORPG shit to design. I mean,
he's a publisher.
Vacations
now.
In Cancun to have.
He's a co-publisher of DC Comics now too. So.
Yeah, I guess that takes up time too, Pat. If you want to be all specific and shit. Yeah.
I would like to see that guy draw more again, because that's what he does best.
The Dark Knight, or not Dark Knight, All-Star Batman's relaunching as Dark Knight Boy Wonder. Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to, I guess that's supposed to finish next. We'd be on time, according to Frank.
Well, I sure hope so. I was, another thing I was really excited about is, crap, there's, he's got, he, have you been reading Ultimate X? There you go, Ultimate X.
That. Oh, the Arthur Adams and Jeff Loeb book?
Yes.
I haven't, but I've heard nothing but good things about it. It's supposed to be really good.
It is probably, if you know, it's probably a return to form as far as some of his better works. I think you could compare it to that as far as his character work. Because this is, you know, basically these are completely new characters. You know nothing about them except for a few things. And he's basically introducing to them, and he makes... He's probably, what's it? He's won me over, and I couldn't put it to words. I was very surprised. I was won over by it, and I'm sad that it's kind of slow to come out, but that's just how it is, you know.
So. That's another case. Like, mm-hmm. You're waiting for the book long enough, but you know you're gonna get Arthur Adams art. That's mm-hmm. worth it for the price of admission and the price of waiting.
Mm-hmm.
That dude's he's a master. Like that. Dude knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Adams is man. I'm just pleased that they got him. Somehow they talked him into doing an ongoing book because I didn't think that was going to be possible anymore.
Is it an ongoing?
It's an ongoing.
That's crazy.
I don't know how long.
It really is nuts.
Yeah, it's an ongoing and. I don't know how long it's going to last, obviously. Hell, for all we know, knowing how shady they've become with regards to the issues, how books go from being an ongoing to being a miniseries from out of nowhere, you know, every now and then. I don't know.
Hopefully Kevin Smith doesn't take over writing it and nobody gets raped.
Oh, God. Man. I couldn't get into anything he writes anymore. I tried to look at his Batman stuff recently, and I don't want to get too negative about it. I just think, no thank you. I want more.
It's a lot of weird for the sake of weird, I think. Yeah. The Batman stuff that he's done.
See, me, you know what?
It's him trying really, really hard to be Grant Morrison, and it's like he's smoked too much pot and not done enough acid to be Grant Morrison. It comes off as a pale imitation.
Yeah, I want more of the Kevin Smith that wrote Green Arrow.
There you go. Oh, yeah. I want more of the Brad Meltzer that wrote Green Arrow.
I would like that, too.
That was a really Archer's Quest. That is such a great arc.
Yeah, and I'm very sad the direction the characters in the Green Arrow family have taken since then.
That's all we should say about that, because that's all it deserves.
Man, hey, you know what, though? Because I didn't want to be accused of being the guy who comments on something but not reading it. I actually read a couple of issues of that Rise of Arsenal thing from a friend. And Jesus Christ. That book. It's like The Room, you know, but in comic form.
Yeah, it's funny that we're doing the sort of like talk about Marvel books thing really, really positively, and then talk about DC books kind of negatively thing. But man, I'm not accusing you of anything. Don't jump on me yet. I'm not done. Hang on.
I just talked about how Hush was great, man. Come on.
Okay. You got one shot in, but it's been kind of a slanted ratio. But like, I'm a huge DC fan. I started off as a big Marvel fan, and then when I got back into comics, they had Identity Crisis coming out, a bunch of other cool shit from DC, and I really got into DC big time. And I want them to do so good right now because they have so many good writers.
And here's the thing: I think they're doing a lot of things right. I mean, if you're reading the Green Lantern books, which I enjoy, by the way, Green Lantern, those books are good. And I'm a guy who hates Hal Jordan, but I like the Green Lantern book because I've grown to like Hal Jordan because he has been, you know, from the beginning since. I mean, I thought Rebirth was a kind of a bad start, but as the book progressed, I have grown to like that character. And so, shit, come on. Give me some love here.
Well, no, that's not what I was saying. I wasn't saying that about you, and I honestly haven't been doing as much as you have, but I think there's, like, and because I really want to love everything DC is doing right now, but they've got, I mean, the books that are good are really, really good. Mm-hmm. I don't read Rebels, but I've heard nothing but good things about that.
Oh, I love that book. Oh, man, that's a book that you need to read.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about Secret Six. I want to get caught up on it.
That's another book, man. Yeah, those books, I adore those books. And maybe
Green Lantern's great, Batman and Robin's great.
Oh, yeah.
Action Comics is off to a really good start.
Man. Paul Cornell, he hit me in all the right spots. I can't wait to see where it goes.
The cliffhanger was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. And I just saw the cover art and, by Finch, the one it's all over the internet, so I'll just say it, with Death. And I'm wondering, what the hell is she doing? This is awesome.
I was more weirded out by that than anything, but I mean, I know Paul Cornell and Neil Gaiman are friends, so it's going to have some kind of input there. But yeah, I don't think it'll be bad. Cornell is, I mean, the guy made me like Doctor Who, and I am not a sci-fi guy at all. So
I'm huge into Paul Cornell's comic stuff. You know, I'm not a Doctor Who guy, and I don't think I ever will. But I absolutely love everything he has written in comic form so far. So
I'm not a Doctor Who guy, and never will be, but I've actually, the few episodes that he did are really, really cool standalone stories.
Uh-huh.
If you ever get a chance to watch him, like, especially if you like his comics, give it a shot. Well,
what I do know is that I like Karen Gillan, and I might watch it for her.
There you go.
Yeah. So there.
I thought you said Kieran Gillen, who is also
there. Yeah,
I was really confused there for a second. He wrote Phonogram, but he's pretty much like a 30-year-old old dude. So
if you've been following Kieran Gillen and J.B. McKelvey on Twitter, they were kind of giving Gillen was getting all kinds of shit because his name's Kieran Gillen and that girl in Doctor Who is named Karen Gillen. So it's funny. Yeah, man. I mean, I don't think I've been disparaging towards DC much. I think that was kind of a strong word you threw at me, buddy. I like a lot of DC books.
Both of us. I didn't say that it was.
Okay. No. I think I'm only very overly critical with regards to a certain writer who was taking over two of the iconic characters of DC that I'm not going to get into right now.
His name rhymes with Gay Fleichel Frazinski.
Who's that? I am not thrilled with the directions he's taking the characters.
Let's just call it what it is, man. They fucking suck.
Here's the thing, though. I'm going to again play devil's advocate, even though I'm not usually the type of person who would side with that guy in his writing. But all we've gotten are previews, and a few short pages of the catalyst to Superman's thing.
I hope both of them end up being very cool, but in terms of a startup, it's like there was some serious and foul bed shitting going on there.
Hey, Adam, I just slapped you in the face. Now walk.
Essentially.
My husband had a brain tumor, and you were out there, not here.
It's like, haven't we done the Superman can't save everybody thing like 2 million times or so? Haven't we done Wonder Woman's island falling apart?
But this is different.
So, are we going to go back to covers with giant phalluses coming at her while she's got her legs spread? Like, let's just go full Silver Age here. It's really...
A lot of people are complaining about the Wonder Woman thing, and it's a very controversial thing, I know. But here's the thing. I don't really care about the costume. I mean...
The costume's completely inconsequential.
I think my biggest issue is with the story. And for all I know, it could be good when it starts coming out. And I will probably take a peek eventually. But I was actually enjoying what Gail Simone was doing in Wonder Woman. I enjoyed what she was doing there, and I was disappointed to see that she was leaving. And then when she leaves, they're gonna do one of these kind of stories again. And it just so happens that, you know, it involves...
You get into a treading water thing. Like, I'm saying all this about, like, Superman and Wonder Woman, but I think we were talking about Hickman and Epting on Fantastic Four. Like, I'm looking forward to Epting's art, but the story arc is another Fantastic Three thing. It's like, okay, you know.
Yeah, but I'm not excited about that particular storyline either. I'm more into the art, but, you know, but the thing is, Hickman's got
you
probably
can't
got different.
Judge it, but, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Hickman has a different. He's one of those guys that has like some kind of new twist on everything. So it should be interesting to see what he does. And the thing about JMS though is like, the fact that he left Spider-Man in a story that kind of has a similar effect on the character. That was what he's doing to Wonder Woman. It's like, and then. You know what I mean. I'm not gonna try and get into it anymore because that would just enrage me. But yeah, it's.
Let's hope that the comic turns around regardless of who's writing it or what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to do a good, you know, to do a good comic book, man. And as I mentioned earlier, I am not a big fan of JMS's stuff, but he's done some good stuff whenever the stars align properly. Like, look at Thor.
Yeah.
Even though,
yeah, I loved his Thor run. That actually,
I loved his Thor. I didn't like how he ended it. And basically, he had Kieron Gillen end it. Speaking of the, you know, and his supreme power was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Midnight Nation's awesome. I will give him that.
I really like the first, I'd say, half or so of his. I think he wrote a great Spider-Man. I think the run kind of petered out toward the end. And that was not a pun on the character's name. I'm sorry, but
oh man,
oh god, I really didn't do that. I'm terribly
sorry. I'm not going to do his Spider-Man run because the less I say about that, the better it will be for the show.
I think he wrote the character very well, and I think at the beginning, I think the first arc alone, like,
the thing is, his Spider-Man is not funny. You need Spider-Man to be kind of funny.
I disagree. I think, and beyond that, what he tried to do is he tried to work with the supporting cast, which is important. And I think he does that with a good handful of the books he's on. But, like, I think one of the cool things about a superhero story is, like, you know the superhero's going to survive at the end. You know, there might be a weird twist thrown in. You might get a Frankencastle sort of thing. But you know the superhero's going to win at the end. And the sort of struggle there is to make somebody go, holy shit, how's he going to get out of this? And I think that was something JMS throughout the course of his run, especially at the beginning, did in spades. And I think he did that in spades, you know, in Thor and... You know, there are bits of Midnight Nation where it's like that, where the characters are in situations.
I will give him something else here. He wrote probably my favorite Silver Surfer story. Silver Surfer.
Oh, Requiem?
Yes.
Oh my god. Yeah.
And I mean, he's a capable writer. He just never turned. He never truly worked for me on everything. You know.
Yeah.
And I just don't like.
Yeah, I think he's another guy that falls into the camp that like a Joss Whedon does. Mm-hmm. You either really like his shit or you really don't care for it.
And the thing is, my biggest issue with JMS is the way he portrays certain characters. I mean, we just mentioned Iron Man earlier. He wrote the worst Iron Man ever during Civil War, in my opinion. He wrote him as like a complete Nazi, you know.
He did the same thing to Reed Richards when he was writing him, other than in the base Fantastic Four book, when he had him appear in Spider-Man. It's like, terrible Reed Richards.
Oh, yeah, his Fantastic Four run was not good.
I enjoyed the first arc, but beyond that, it just got too bogged down with crossover stuff. You had the Planet Hulk launch, and then you had the Civil War thing, and it was just like,
The thing about him also is this, right? This is what he likes to do to some of his characters, is that he likes to do this thing where what happened to the characters is not an accident, it was actually fate or whatever, it was some, you know, there was some kind of outside force that, you know, and I'm like, Spider-Man got bitten by the spider because it's an accident, not because of a totem thing or whatever. And the Fantastic Four, same thing, you know, That's
it's nothing. It's comics. It doesn't need an.
Yeah, you don't need.
It's an explanation.
Yeah, and that's always been my issue with his writing.
Archie, dude shooting webs. Do we really want to? I mean, you know, overthink it to the hills, but don't try to explain it.
And hey, man, he's the mastermind behind the other, so I can't help but be skeptical of him. But enough about that.
I had completely forgotten that existed until you mentioned that.
Yeah, the other since past.
Oh, since past. I actually learned how to write comic script from the director's cut issue of Sins Past, the first issue.
They put out a director's cut of that?
The first issue of Sins Past. Well, the book was selling like crazy. It was an instant sellout, shit like that.
Man, I can imagine it selling and people complaining at the same time. Man, I hate this book. Look what they did to Gwen Stacy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Man. Okay, I don't want to get too negative now. I think we kind of stayed negative there. JMS has an effect on me, guys. I'm sorry. But,
It had to happen eventually.
Yeah. This is like an airing out of grievances, you know, like during Festivus or something. But
like a mania, the airing of grievances.
Yeah. That's going to be the title of this episode, an airing of grievances, guest starring Adam Wynn. Like, oh my god, what's going to happen here? But, I do defer to whenever I think of JMS and I think of things that I like from him, Silver Surfer Requiem and the early part of his Thor run, always.
It's like we both said, like, uh-huh. I'd really love everything that's going on in Superman and Wonder Woman to turn around because both of those characters play to his strengths. He's uh-huh. the guy that wrote all these, you know, Spider-Man stories where he was struggling against these different villains that would pop up and things like that, and lots of new villains, things of that sort. I think he could do something really strong with a character like Superman, who should be able to beat any threat with his finger, and then he does this, and it's just kind of like, okay, show us something cool.
Mm-hmm. I guess we'll see, but I'm not looking forward to finding out where Superman is walking to next, because he could come to your town. He's got a judge pie-eating contests or something.
You should participate in them. You know, collect some money to fund the trip while you're going. I'm just waiting to see, like, this issue, Superman waits for a bus. It's like, oh, God.
God, I mean, you know what I'll say this about that concept? It could be good if it was a finite thing. It's like, I mean, it is a finite thing, but if it was like a 3-issue story arc, I can kind of see that working. But
what it makes me think of is Brian Azzarello's run on Superman, the For Tomorrow thing, which was a cool concept. You know, a bunch of people disappear from the Earth. It's not a cool concept for 12 issues.
Yeah. I mean, this could be. I mean, if it was a 3-issue story arc, I might actually get into it. I mean, I would probably read it and see what he does, just because it's. I mean, it is a fairly high concept if you think about it. You know, Superman's walking across the country, but the thing is, the reason
it had such a melodramatic kickoff too.
Yeah,
I think
that's my biggest thing with it. That kickoff, and then the fact that he's got the character for an entire year, and I don't believe, from what I've heard everywhere, I'm not sure if this is true or not, but he's. No one else can use the character while he's doing this.
That is 100% true. Yeah, Paul Cornell and a couple other people verified that.
Yeah, and I would like to read Paul Cornell's Superman. That's one of the reasons why I'm mad, because I'm being denied a Paul Cornell Superman. And as much as I love Lex Luthor, you know, Action Comics is Superman's book, you know? So, it sounds kind of petty, kind of, you know, whatever, but, you know, that's just how I am as a fan, you know? I like these characters. I would like to, you know, enjoy these books, but you got such a killer creative team on Action right now, and you can't use Superman.
Yeah, it kind of speaks to a flaw in the system.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm hoping for a year from now, though, when this whole thing ends, is that hopefully Cornell's still on Action, and it turns out he's been building up Lex Luthor's story, so he's ready for Superman's return.
I hope that a year from now, if we come back onto this podcast, we're talking about how great JMS's Superman is and how much we're looking forward to Paul Cornell's Superman, and that'd be cool.
I would like to be wrong about JMS, but I have a feeling I'm right, because usually I'm right.
So Where's the optimistic Pat we all know and love?
I'm very optimistic. I'm optimistic that I'm optimistic because I know it's going to end eventually.
Oh, man.
Woohoo! Look at that! Did you see that? Didn't see that coming, did you? we were talking about some other DC books earlier. I do recommend you pick up Rebels. It's good. I'm hoping that book is kind of. It's doing for me what Guardians of the Galaxy was doing for me over at Marvel before it went on hiatus. So, and both books are just too much fun. I've also I've been on a big G.I. Joe kick lately for some reason, and I've been rereading the old series since IDW's been collecting them in trades. That stuff, man, that's still some fun stuff.
I picked up the big Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
phone book. Oh yeah. Oh man, the old turtle stuff is amazing. It's hard to believe that turned into what we came to know as, you know, in the cartoons and stuff, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to flipping through it.
Wow, what's this? We've been at it for almost an hour. I can't even believe that. Let's kind of talk briefly about some other stuff, though, aside from comics that we've been checking out lately. I mean, have you been digging any TV lately? I mean, I recently got into Party Down, thanks to Albert Ching, who was our last guest here. He told me about it, and then they just happened to have everything on Netflix streaming, and I watched the entire series, and I love that show. I'm even more disappointed that it got canceled.
What channel did that come out through?
Stars.
Oh, cool. Actually, everybody's TV shows go off and mine come back, because I'm an HBO viewer.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started... I didn't even know Hung was coming back. Hung is far and away, like, in my opinion, the best thing on television.
I just picked up season one, actually.
Oh, you're gonna love it. It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
I will say also that for as flimsy as the fucking concept is, it's, you know, I mean, TV show about a dude's big dick, essentially. Mm-hmm. As flimsy as the concept is, the show holds up so well. And even, like, even into the second season now that they're into, it's really, really good. And I'm really excited to see where every episode goes. Mm-hmm. I started Entourage season 7? 6.
I heard season 7's off to a good start, by the way.
Yeah, I really I was super disappointed in the last one because they're just kind of getting cyclical. Mm-hmm. But I think they're leading up to some interesting things. And did you hear how it's structured? Like, they're doing half a season for this one. It's only going to be 6 or 8 episodes, and then they're doing half a season for next one, putting out a movie, and then that's it. Show's over.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, good. Yeah. They have a plan. I like that. I'm a big fan of shows with a plan. And
have you watched Eastbound and Down? Speaking of shows with a plan.
Yes. Yes. Oh god.
I just found
Kenny
the
Powers.
Yes, Kenny fucking Powers. Mm-hmm. I just got the first season of that. It's so good, and it's coming back in September.
Yeah, I'm excited. I love Danny McBride. He's one of my favorite actors that came out in the last few years. He's hilarious. I mean,
I think that show was like co-helmed by Will Ferrell. Really never liked anything the dude's done, but it's a brilliant, hilarious show.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of Will Ferrell. I mean, not even Anchorman. Come on,
hated Anchorman.
Oh, dude.
Actually, I liked him in one thing, and it was Stranger Than Fiction.
Oh,
which
dude.
Have you seen Stranger Than Fiction?
Yeah,
that is it. I sense some
Anchorman,
some
though. Anchorman, though. You don't like Anchorman. You break my heart. Adam Witt, you break my heart. That's probably my favorite thing he's ever done, and I don't think he'll be able to top that at this point. But he's done some other good stuff since then. Like, you know, Stranger Than Fiction being one of those things he's done later on. But, man, that's disappointing.
The reason I didn't immediately think of Stranger Than Fiction is because I didn't think of it as a Will Ferrell role.
The thing about Will Ferrell, yeah, a lot of times though, he does come across as just being himself, but in different situations.
Yeah.
Kind of like Samuel L. Jackson.
I think it's like the same way that people either love or hate Christopher Walken, because the dude's always going to be on screen as himself.
Yeah. That's why they should just, you know... That's why they should just have Christopher Walken and Samuel L. Jackson together in a movie as themselves.
Totally watch Christopher Walken and Samuel L. Jackson in the movie. I would watch a fucking film of Samuel L. Jackson and Christopher Walken, like, eating hamburgers and reading the newspaper.
Or reading scripts or something. Oh, man. So, by the way, we're kind of abbreviating this a bit since we're getting to that point. I did check out something recently, not a movie, not a TV show, or not a comic book, but I checked out the XX that you have.
Oh,
you got me into. A great band right there.
Yeah, I discovered them at like the beginning of June. They played here in town like 2 months before that. I am so pissed I missed them when they flew into town. But yeah, that's great music.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff coming out this year. I finally got the score to Jonah Hex. It's by the band Mastodon. And that's probably the only
good thing. They did the score to Jonah Hex. Yeah, that's really cool.
That's probably the only good thing to come out of that movie. And maybe that No Way Out graphic novel that came out, because that never would have come out if the movie wasn't happening. True. So that movie was good for a couple of things. But yeah, that was
pretty... What else are you listening to right now? What's come out this year that you dug?
I really like the new Roots album. I thought it was very cool.
I've only heard about half of it, but it's really cool.
It's very... I mean, I use a couple of tracks to kind of use as bumpers for the show, like a couple last episode, I believe. And it's been, it's very, very different direction for them. Very experimental for what they usually do, but it's phenomenal stuff.
I think it's a return to form to it for them. The last couple albums were so, and I think they're back to what they were doing before that.
Yeah, this is probably the best one. I have a couple albums that I haven't listened to yet. I picked up the new Big Boy album from Outkast.
Oh, cool.
And he's good. There's been a few things. Like, there's also I got the newest National album that came out a couple months ago. That was really good, but it was such a departure from Boxer.
It's closer to what they did with Alligator, I think. They really did a rock album.
Yeah.
And I think there are tracks that harken back to Boxer, but more than anything, they wanted to put out a poppier, mm-hmm. more digestible album. I think they mm-hmm. did that.
Yep. I really liked it. I mean, I just got one of my friends into it with the Boxer album. And I was trying to decide what album to kind of give him next so he could kind of check out more of it. You know, I was thinking of going with Alligator because, you know, I think it's going to be...
Work backwards. Yeah. That was pretty much like I discovered them with Boxer and then worked backwards to Alligator and then Sad Songs and then mm-hmm. self-titled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have been phenomenal. I have yet to hear something from them that I did not like. I was a little, like I said, I was a little taken aback by the somewhat change of direction that they took with this newer album, but it's still good. And a lot of it
they produced themselves. Mm-hmm. Like normally they work with that guy Peter Kadis, uh-huh. but they produced a lot of it themselves. And there are a couple of tracks that just sound like demos uh-huh. because they are because they didn't have time to flesh out the tracks or whatever. But they had pressure. But I still think all the way through it sounds.
Yeah, it's a good CD or a good album, whatever. I don't even know why I use the term CD anymore. Nobody does that anymore. Anyway, we're getting to that point. We have been... it was actually a lot of fun talking about this stuff, not having to worry about anything to plug. But we're at that point of the show where we can plug. Blacklisted is a graphic novel we worked on together. And it's out. You could order it through IndiePlanet.com. Just search Blacklisted. There's a preview of the first few pages of the book. And, you know, just order it there or... Do you still have copies of the Adam that can be ordered directly for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, there are also copies you can order directly from us. You can send an email to theloika@gmail.com. That's spelled theloika@gmail.com, and we will process your order. And you will even get it signed by either one of us, depending on who picks up the order. We are also available online in various places. Adam, where are you online?
I am at twitter.com/Adam, AdamWitt. And I'm relaunching my Tumblr soon, so don't go there now. But in, like, a couple of months, mm-hmm. go to mm-hmm. AdamWitt, AdamWitt, Tumblr, mm-hmm. .com. And hopefully I'll have some cool stuff up there.
Okay, that's good to hear. I'm looking forward to the return of your Tumblr blog. I am, of course, in my usual haunts, patloika.com, which is my Tumblr blog, but now officially my website. And you hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com/PatLoika, or on Facebook, facebook.com/PatLoika. If you are going to San Diego this year for Comic-Con, you can find me at booth number 1804/booth1806. I will be there with the many, many people behind Dialar Studios and some friends, and I will have copies of The Villain graphic novel and Blacklisted graphic novel all available for you to purchase to give me money in my pocket. And I will also be a part of a panel, believe it or not. This year we will be doing a panel for it's called Kickstart Your Comic. It features me, Steve Earnhardt, the writer of The Villain, Cody Chamberlain, who does Sweets, and Steve Bryant, who did Athena Voltaire. We are all Kickstarter success stories, and we're going to give you some tips on how you could do your book or your project through Kickstarter and be successful at it, because that's what we are. It's on Saturday from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Yes, I know it runs at the same time as the Avengers. That's the Thor and Captain America movie panel. But, you know, you have a better chance of going to see us than seeing them, right?
Do you really want to wait in the giant line?
Do you really want to be in line for 2 hours to see possibly a historical, you know, assembling of the Avengers cast?
Or do you want to look at Cody Chamberlain's awesome hair for an hour?
Exactly, right? So, yeah, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Details will be at the website, at my blog website, or on Twitter, wherever. You will find it there, because I will not stop talking about it until it ends. So, there. And once again, this is Pat Loika, and for Adam Witt, I want to say thank you for listening, and please be nice and leave us an iTunes review. Until next week, though, take it easy.
True, I'll be true.